This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody jump! Jump!
Yes. A good Wednesday morning. Happy hump day to one and all. It's Taz and the Moose with you. Back together again. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. To provide a seamless mortgage experience, Mike Deed across the way, Bogish with your updates. We take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, the next 3 hours with you. Dan Rosen will join us to wrap up the program later on in the show. As we got a big game 7 tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals, a championship will be decided. Lord Stanley Cup will be lifted up. Up in Beantown, whether it be the Bruins or the Blues, that's yet to be decided, Taz, but he'll join us. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Moose, you know, grand, outstanding, tremendous, spectacular. I hope you're feeling the same as me.
Yeah, it's a good day. I mean, it is.
And we're here.
Next two nights are going to be great. I mean, because you know, it's not just going to be baseball. You've got the Stanley Cup Final Game 7 tonight. You've got Game 6 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. You know, next two nights with high impact and high drama, it's going to be fun next two nights.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's great because, I mean, look, if you're just an all-around sports fan, you just nailed it. You know, from hockey to the NBA to, you know, finals, seven, you know, all game seven, all that stuff. And even if you're, let's say you're just a hockey fan, and you're gold tonight. If you're just an NBA fan, you're gold tomorrow. So, yeah, it's great all the way around, no doubt. And casual sports fans understand how big these moments are, too.
Oh, so no question about it. And so that's going to be it's going to be fun. And even if you're not the biggest hockey fan in the world, and once there's a Game 7 when the championship's going to be decided, that's something you got to pay attention to and get locked in. Yeah. And we got a lot to get into, Taz. But, you know, you and I, you know, chat a little bit before the show this morning.
Yes.
And you know, yesterday we mentioned it, you know, briefly. We didn't spend a whole hell of a lot of time on it. But there's been a lot of criticism that's gone the Toronto fans' way for what happened following the Kevin Durant injury in Game 5 up in Toronto, right? And we'll get to the latest with Durant and everything like that.
Right.
To where, you know, people have, you know, as we talked about yesterday, became, you know, kind of, The Golden State Warriors went from like the evil empire to, as you said, the baby face, right?
Sure,
a team that you're going to root for after the injury and after the fans' behavior. Now, I will say this. Listen, you know, I do feel like now it's kind of taken on a world of its own where they're getting ripped and critiqued and criticized left and right. And I get, listen, it wasn't just a few fans up in Toronto. I get it. I understand that there were a lot of people. But I do also understand this, Taz. They didn't know. I mean, in all honesty, you know, they at the time of the injury, when Durant goes down with that injury, at that scenario, they thought he probably retweaked the calf. You know, they're not thinking the very fact of that he tore his Achilles tendon at that stage.
Yeah.
If you're out at a bar, or if you're in the Raptors, if you're in Jurassic Park, and you're watching the game at that stage, right? You know, let me ask you, Durant goes down, you're trying to win a championship. You know he's coming back off a calf injury. He hasn't played in well over a month. He's missed 9 straight playoff games for the Golden State Warriors. At that stage, now I know you're a former athlete, and I understand you watch it with a little bit of a different eye. I'm talking about the average Joe, the average Jane. They're watching that game. Are they thinking that Kevin Durant all of a sudden sustained an injury that he's now going to be? Are they connecting the two at that stage to where they're rooting? You know, because I think people are all of a sudden now looking and trying to connect the two. They're thinking maybe he retweaked the calf. They're not thinking about the fact he suffered some injury that's going to keep him out for the next year.
I think it's a good point. And we've heard a lot of talk since yesterday on, you know, TV, the radio, everywhere.
Oh, my
not
God.
Just us, about all this. But I don't think anyone's brought that up. And I think that's a good point. Because I think you're right, too. I don't think the Toronto fans had this epiphany and they all became doctors and like, oh, look at that. He just blew out his Achilles. He's done for the rest of the series and he's out. I do think that once he went down and grabbed his leg, you know, the average Raptor fan, no matter if they were in a building or at a bar in Toronto or somewhere else in the United States or in the world watching, they're Raptor fans. I do think they figured, they all knew, it was like you couldn't move anywhere without knowing this guy has been out. Obviously, he's not been playing for 33 days at that point.
Right.
So they knew he's been out. I do think that they felt, okay, he's down, he's hurt, maybe he can't play the rest of the game. They didn't know what, to your point, they didn't know what happened to him. They knew it was something with his leg. You know, look, I know yesterday when we briefly touched on this, you wanted to make sure that people didn't just stereotype all the Toronto fans, like saying, oh, my God, they're horrible people, and how right. could they do this? And you're not wrong. You're right about that. And you know how the old expression, right? It just takes a few bad apples to, you know, spoil the bunch, right? And that's what happens. You get a couple of guys or girls in the audience that are maybe drinking a little too much, and or maybe some people got a little action on the game, and he goes down, and they start cheering, and then everybody else cheers. I mean, and it wasn't like when I brought it up yesterday, you point out, rightly point out, it wasn't the whole arena cheering that he was injured. You know what I mean? And then it quickly shifted, and Lowry and one of the other Raptor players, I can't remember who.
Yeah, it was about three or four Raptor players that basically
chilled it out, right?
Right, correct.
And then they gave him a standing ovation and stuff.
As he was leaving the court.
Yeah, I will tell you, different sport I know. My years wrestling in Toronto or Montreal, Saskatchewan, Calgary, I've done all the whole Canadian thing with WWE.
And wrestling's huge. I mean, it's huge. All huge all over the place, but Canada it's huge. Ginormous. Yeah.
Always great fans.
Right.
I got to tell you, like, dude, they loved the good guys. They hated the bad guys. It's really that simple.
Right.
So they were always great to perform for because they were easy. They were into it. They knew their role. We knew our role. We all had fun.
Yeah.
They would never like it. So, yeah, if there's a negative narrative on them, it's a little unfair.
Yeah, and Taz, it just got me thinking a little bit about, like, you know, fan behavior, right? And you've performed at arenas all over the country, all over the world, right? And, you know, you kind of, you know, you have a great feel for this. You've been to a lot of sporting events, but you performed as well, right? I mean, I haven't performed, but I've been to a lot of sporting events.
Well, you've covered them all.
Right.
Well, so it's a real good mix.
Right. So, I mean, Taz, yeah, I look at, you know, in the how Toronto fans or Canadian fans are being roundly criticized, right? And honestly, you know, if they're number one, they're trying to win, right? And when Durant steps back on the court to open up that game and open up that series, you know, open up game five, they're thinking to themselves, here we go.
Yeah.
We're going to lose this series now. He's going to play great. They're going to win three in a row. You know, they think he tweaks the calf, but you know, as people are saying, you know, they're the worst fans, or how do you now root for Toronto? Now you're rooting for the Raptors. How do you now root for the Golden State Warriors? How do you do this? Look at the way the fans behaved. I also think you got to push the brakes upon, you know, because, you know, last week, Taz, we talked about videos of surfacing up in Boston during the Stanley Cup Finals of, you know, fights and brawls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we've seen brawls at football games and fights at football games and this and that. And I got to be honest with you, what's worse to me, you know, I'm not telling you it's right. I'm really not. I'm not telling you it's right.
Right.
But what do I think is worse? I think it's worse if you're starting, basically you're starting a brawl, you have too much to drink, you're sitting there at the fans, there's kids around you, and you're dropping haymakers because, you know, your team's losing in the third period. To me, I think that's worse behavior than if I get up and applaud because I think some guy tweaked his calf injury. Because I'll be honest with you, if Kevin Durant had a grotesque leg injury, say he went up for a ball, comes down and suffers a compound fracture or suffers a devastating knee injury, and he's grabbing his knee, writhing in pain, do you think the Raptor fans there are cheering? They're not cheering.
They're not.
They're not cheering.
No.
They're not doing that. They're not morons. At that stage, they're trying to win a championship. They just think he tweaked the injury. It just happened. But I'll tell you, I think if you're at a game and you drink too much, and you're rowdy, and you're cursing, and you start a fight, I think that's worse behavior than what you saw in Toronto.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree one bit, because that's more intimate amongst fans, especially when there's young kids around. And it's, you're trying to have a family experience. You know, look, there's two ways to go to a couple of ways to go to a game. You can go to a game with a, you know, on a date. You can go to a game with your buddies or, you know, whatever, or a bunch of friends. Or you can go to a game as a family experience with your kids or maybe, you know, whatever. And the last thing you need is you don't want to be sitting there to guys that are drinking too much and they're just hanging. And it's at every game, every sporting event, and now they're acting like complete asses. No, I agree with you. And then they start throwing punches at each other, get into fist fights. No, that'll make a kid never want to go to a sporting event or play a sport.
Well, that's it.
That could be a traumatic thing. Not to be a snowflake, because I'm not, or be soft. I know you're not either, but that could happen. I want to say this, though. I do think, and it's kind of a, I guess, in a weird defense of the Toronto fan, the fans that are getting ripped for this, and it was wrong what they did, the ones that did cheer, no matter if it was 50 of them or 150 of them, who knows. Listen, let's call a spade here. When a star player gets hurt and you're the opposing star player, and you're rooting for that team, your team. And the other, okay, so you're a Yankee fan. I'm a Met fan, and they're in the World Series, okay? And, one of our top guys, Noah Syndergaard,
gets hurt,
throws a ball, and he grabs his shoulder and goes down on the hill, on the mound. You're not going to cheer. You're not happy about it. But internally, let's be honest. I'm not just saying you. I'm saying you get where I'm going with this. Internally, you're saying, all right, we got a good chance to win here.
Don't disagree.
Hope this guy's going to be okay, but we got now. This is kind of good for us.
No question.
That's the end. So what those Toronto fans did, some of them, they let it out.
Right.
You got to keep that as your inside voice. Because they're all thinking that, dude.
And Taz, that's where I think people are phony baloney, right? That's right. Where I think people that are
that's
posting
videos. That's a
throwback
saying right there.
Yeah, that's where I think people that are posting, because I saw it yesterday, Taz, it started bothering me yesterday afternoon. Where people were posting videos at bars up in Toronto and Raptor and Jurassic Park and this and that, of fans cheering and saying, wait, hold on a second here. Because what you said is dead on correct, yeah. Taz, is that if I'm in a series and I'm in a game, you don't think, let me ask you this, you don't think the Blues fan, they didn't want to see Zdeno Chara suffer a fractured jaw.
You're getting hit with a puck.
But do you think a Blues fan looked at that and said, wait, hold on a second, they're going to lose arguably their best defenseman. He might be out the rest of the series. We could actually win the Stanley Cup here. I mean, there's no doubt about
it. They all said it internally, every one of them.
And that's the point, Taz. But that's where I look at, can we be a little bit genuine? Instead of calling out the Raptor fans out on the carpet, can you be a little real here and understand there that they're basically doing what everyone else is thinking?
Right,
what everyone
else
is thinking at that stage is, we could actually win this. This is going to be our night. It didn't end up being their night. But at that stage, they thought, we're actually going to win an NBA championship. Because there are arguably right now the best player in the world who tried to come back re-injured his calf before we found out it was the Achilles.
Right. And that's it. And I do think that I think it's a bad look when fans do that. I think we all agree on that because it's, again, the inside voice coming out. Maybe it's the alcohol coming out. Maybe they're just complete asses, whoever it is. And it's unfair to stereotype, how many people were in that arena. There had to be 40-something thousand, 30, no,
no,
maybe
no,
less
no,
than
no,
that.
No, about 18, 19,000.
Oh, that's all that building holds?
Yeah, I think so.
They don't play in the, what do you call it anymore? The Toronto, the
Skydome?
Skydome.
No.
Not Skydome. No, what was the other building next to we used to wrestle in? The Air Canada Center. They don't play in that no more?
No, they were in the Scotiabank Arena.
They changed the name of it, though. Is it the same build? We don't know. We don't know the answers to this.
They might have changed it. No, I think they changed the name.
Was that Air Canada Center was big, like where the Maple Leafs played?
Yes.
Regardless. Okay,
right.
18,000, 20,000, whatever the hell it is.
Right.
Right? Okay. Same place.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, same just place. Under 20.
Just under 20. I was there. It felt bigger. I guess I was way off. It was 40,000 people. It was 18. What am I doing? Like, look at all these 40,000 people cheering
Taz
my name.
Taz giving telling stories.
I was in Toronto.
Right. 40,000. Right. To your grandkids.
My grandkids.
Right. Then they're going to look it up. At grandpa. That arena held 18,900.
We heard Moose say it on the radio.
The standing room can get over 20 at times.
See, that's another 20,000. So that's 18,000 people. So it wasn't like they were all chanting. The only thing I got to tell you, the one thing that does bother me, Moose, even more than this. I wasn't like we had hot takes on it was a bad look that some of these fans cheered. I get it. I agree with you that it's a worse look when people get bombed or just start throwing punches and get into fist fights in front of kids and they're cursing. Even guys that are not getting into fist fights that are just dropping F-bombs and meanwhile there's 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds sitting right behind him.
No, and Taz, I know you got a point you want to get across.
I
don't want to interrupt you, but I will say they deserve to be criticized for it.
Right.
But I also think you've got to take it to a certain level, and then you can't extend it to past that level. And what I mean by that is, You know, the criticism of the Raptor fan that was cheering is justified, but the outpouring of anger and, like, basically, like, they're the worst fans in the world some.
Right, stereotyping all of them.
I think you're taking it to a level that it does not need to go to. It just doesn't. They deserve to be criticized. Some will say, I'll never do that again. Others will say, I had too much to drink. Others will be like, we had no idea that it was a significant injury. But there were people who were saying, look at these. How do you root for Canadian fans now? Yeah, how do you root for – look at these Toronto fans. They're animals.
Yeah, I mean,
they're
talking about people in the media.
Yeah.
They're like, they do what we do.
Taz, to me, that's wrong. I mean, that's just flat out wrong.
Well, hypocritical.
Because the point that you made is dead on correct. Everyone's thinking there, if you had a dog in the fight and you're saying to yourself – I've got a chance. I'm going to win it.
Right.
Their quarterback goes down to injury. You're saying, I'm not going to get up and cheer. But at that stage, you know what? I'm going to win this football game.
Oh, dude,
we're actually going to win this week. We're going to win this playoff game. We're going on to the next round.
Dude, I'm a Bills fan. We play the Patriots. I'm not hoping, and I do not like Tom Brady. I respect him. I don't hope he gets injured. But if he gets injured, I'm not going to sit in my den and cheer. But I'm going to be like, all right, well, I hope he's going to be okay. Greatest player maybe ever, quarterback ever. But now we got an opportunity to win this game.
Yeah.
That's in my inside. That's any fan. That's fandom. I think it's bad. I've never, as an athlete and as a retired athlete, wished for another player to get injured. No. I'll tell you where it's a worse look, too, believe it or not, if fans do that. This is where it gets a little funky. At college or high school games, if a kid gets hurt, and I use the word kid because they're kids, and people cheer that from the opposing. I've seen parents do
that's awful.
Dude, I mean, I've witnessed it more than once.
Yeah, I mean,
not just in college, like with my son, but like in high school, middle school, I've seen this.
That's terrible.
I've seen this.
That's awful.
I went over to a dad because my son was a junior. And he, in high school, and, he was dominating the game in lacrosse and as a defenseman. And then he, he was, anybody was getting near the cage, near the goal, he was taking the ball from all lighting up. He was having a great game. And then he tweaked his ankle in the game. And, he got help getting limped off. And this one dad was like, good. He's been hitting everybody late the whole game anyway. He's been headhunting everybody. He didn't headhunt anybody. He's an aggressive player.
Yeah.
I went over to him. I said, my man, I said, you're going to talk about a kid who's a junior in high school like that? You're going to be happy he got hurt? Right. He goes, what is it? Your business? He goes, my kid, you dumb. You guess what I called
him? I'm sure.
And then my wife came over. I said, please calm down. Yeah, and he goes, well, and the guy's got a bag with him, and he's drinking.
Yeah, well, I mean,
a
that's
beer.
That's just ridiculous.
At a night lacrosse game, a high school game on Long
that's
Island.
Awful.
What are we doing?
Ah, it's terrible. I mean, it's terrible behavior. I agree with you.
I should have cracked him, bro.
You probably and I would have taken you in that fight.
I would have gotten in trouble.
You would have been 1-9.
Yeah.
Overwhelming favorite.
But anyway, you get my point. Now, your kids, your three boys, I'm sure at least one or two
Taz,
will be athletes. And you'll
and
see,
I think,
dude, it's annoying, dude.
Well,
the
there's
parents,
no doubt about
kids.
It. And Taz, I also think, and we've chatted about the time, you look at high school athletes and you look at college athletes differently than you look at paid professional athletes
Of course.
I mean, that's just the way it is. So, roundly, you might be critical of a guy's performance in college. You're not over-the-top critical because you understand they're a student athlete.
They're not right.
They're young kids, young men, young women. They're not going to be as criticized as guys that are getting paid to do this. And this is their profession. This is what they do in their life.
Right and correct. And even with that, like I agree with you, and I get your point. It's people that are ripping the Toronto fans, and how it's horrible, and blah 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 blah.
Well, it's the same team. I mean, if you rooted for Toronto before Game 4 or before Game 5, you should still root for Toronto tomorrow night. The behavior of the fans not knowing what the injury of Kevin Durant, it's a wonderful story, what that team and what that city has tried to accomplish. The trade by Masai Ujiri, it's still a wonderful story because they cheered the Durant injury. And I the other thing is, Taz, Durant's not dead.
No.
I mean, I mean he suffered an Achilles injury. He tried to come back and play, right? Kevin Durant did not die on the court in Game 5.
Well, if you listen to Bob Meyer, it sounds like he did.
Well, that's the other problem, Taz, is it's terrible. No one wanted to see it. It's changed the landscape of NBA free agency, Taz. But, I mean, you would have thought yesterday that we lost Kevin Durant.
And
I
you're
mean,
a Knicks fan.
Right. And Kevin,
you're a Knicks fan.
Right,
that.
And I'm a Knicks fan, and I'm saying that. And Kevin Durant is going to live. Yeah. I mean, he's alive.
And
I mean,
he's going to be wealthy for a long time.
Right. He was tweeting last night. Yeah. I mean, his mom was tweeting. Yeah, I mean, it's like, he's in New York getting an MRI. I mean, Kevin Durant is going to live. He's going to play basketball again.
Think he'll swing by the garden?
We'll get it.
Moose is like, hey, KD, I'll pick you up. I'll give you a ride over.
I mean, like, it is, the outpouring of emotion, like, it's amazing. I understand Kevin Durant got hurt, and it was a terrible look, and it's a terrible scene, and no one wants to see him suffer a torn Achilles, even though the MRI results are not out as of yet, Taz, but from the overreaction to that to then the ridiculing of the Toronto Raptor fans.
Yeah.
I started saying to myself,
it's annoying.
I mean, let's pump the brakes here just a little bit.
Well, a lot of these guys have nothing else to talk about because they're waiting for the game to happen, and then, so they want to have hot takes on the fans of Toronto. And like I said yesterday, Moose, it's crazy to me how in that game, when that injury happened, how this shift of who the good guys are in this game, who the bad guys are now.
I know.
Think about it. Like the overview. Like
I agree with you.
It's like the Warriors were the evil empire. They were the ones that I'm exaggerating. Everyone wanted to see lose. And here's Toronto. Oh my God, we got a shift. We got a new kingdom here in Toronto with the Raptors. And we love Kawhi. He doesn't complain about nothing. He says nothing. He's a great player. Now all of a sudden is a shift. And the heels, the bad guys, are the guys from up in Canada.
Well,
it's crazy.
And you're exactly right. And to Taz, to play on, your wrestling experience, right, as a wrestler and a commentator for, a decade for the WWE, you wrestled, you performed, you broadcast, you analyzed in arenas all over the country, all over the world, right?
Yes, sure.
And you had good experiences, bad experiences in different cities, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm sure you didn't let, like, say, a bad experience with a couple of fans in one city change your affection or appreciation for the other fans in that particular city.
No, of course not.
You would never do that, right?
No way. Philadelphia was, just like in mainstream sports, in wrestling, too, they're what we call a heel crowd. They like the bad guys. They hate the good guys. So as a performer, you got to kind of shift the way you work the match.
Right.
Because they're not falling in line. But that's just like a good chunk of the audience. But there's a lot of people that are wrestling fans in Philadelphia that like the good guys and hate the bad guys. You know what I mean? And they're not going to curse your mother out. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, you're right. You don't just put all of the fans in Philly, if I'm just saying Philly, in a box. They're all hard-ass fans, and they're all tough to wrestle in front of. They suck. We call it a heel crowd. So it's like New York has that feel, Chicago a little bit, Cleveland, Philly mostly. But no, you're right. You don't sit there as a performer and say, okay, the rest of these people suck. There's always that. So if you mess up a move in a match, okay, well, some call it
and
a
they
botch.
Call you out.
Yeah, they'll say, you blop, yeah, blop, you messed up. Let's just say the word messed up because I can't say the word on radio. You messed up. You messed up. You go and wrestle in Fort Lauderdale, or you go and wrestle in, Los Angeles. They're not going to chant that. You mess up a spot in Philly, you're going to hear that all the way to your hotel. You don't hate on the people. Like, it's not everyone chanting.
No, and that's the point, Taz, is that you look at it, you have a great respect for all the wrestling fans across the country, right?
Yeah. But they're entitled to say what they want.
To an extent, even if a fan was, even if a fan or a couple fans or a group of guys and gals or what have you crossed the line, you're not all of a sudden going to take that group and their behavior and say, well, no, that's indicative of all Philadelphia wrestling fans, or that's indicative of all Philadelphia fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, you're not going to do that because you're going to say, all right, that's a couple of individuals that don't know how to behave themselves, but the rest of the crowd was absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely, you're exactly right, and it's because even though it's, no matter if you're watching an NBA game or if you're watching a Major League Baseball game or you're watching the WWE, okay, if you're in Boston for each of those events, okay, you're going to get different people. Just because most of them are from the Boston or Massachusetts area doesn't mean they're all going to think the same or act the same. We're all people at the end of the day. No matter if we're, let's say, you know, we're both Yankee. I'm not a Yankee fan. I won't even joke it. Okay, we don't like any sports fans together, teams, you and I.
No, but I'll be a Met fan for you.
Okay,
so we're
great.
Both
I
Met
love
fans.
It. Moose is a Met fan today. You heard
yes,
that.
We're
That's
both
a drop.
Met fans.
We need to keep that. Record that, please. So we both go to see if we're both Met fans. And, you know, you might get pissed at one of our players that we love, that, you know, and rip the guy because he makes an error or he boots a ground ball at second base, and I'm going to be supportive of him. We're both Met fans. We're both from New York, and you know what I mean. Like, so we both are going to look at things differently.
No
so that's why, to the point you're making, it's tough to stereotype or as a performer, an athlete, whatever, or just a member of the media. You can't stereotype everyone.
No, you just can't do it. I want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you think the criticism of the Raptor fan has gone over the top following the Durant injury? We'll have a KD injury update. Not much of one, but we'll provide it for you as we'll get you set for Game 6 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. Talk a little Women's World Cup as well, as the United States just throttled Thailand. Mm. Did you see that, Taz?
Yes, I mean,
we'll
did.
Get
yes,
into that,
yes.
too. Plenty to chat about, but we want to hear from you next. What about fan behavior at games? Do you think the criticism of Raptor fans is over the top, or do you think it's justified? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Taz, Moose, Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
I believe that. Yeah. All right. We're
back on the episode. Yes. 855-212-4227. That is your number of call. It's Taz and the Moose with you. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. And the question we fired out there, we kicked off the program. The Raptor fan, the criticism that came their way following their actions after the KD injury, you know, the criticism, do you think it's justified or do you think it's been over the top?
Yeah, let's go down to Houston and talk to Fletcher, listening on 610 AM. Fletcher, you're on with Taz and Moose. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, first of all, I just want to comment that I know what I saw and I know what I heard. And apparently it was enough fans were loud enough and cheering enough that the commentator said something, the players reacted to it. So there was a whole bunch, but hopefully giving them time and the benefit down, it might just be the fact that they're so wrapped up in trying to win a championship that maybe they're not just being evil or whatever. I hope so. Otherwise, it's going to paint all the Canadians with the pretty broad brush that they're a bunch of jerks. So hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah, I don't think it's the case. You know,
I mean, really
Fletcher,
don't.
I know you're not saying that either, but I think
it was loud enough.
It was loud enough.
Right.
Right.
It wasn't two or three people, but it wasn't the entire arena either. So let's not make it out to be that was the case either. And if you're going to, here's the one thing, and Taz, I think you mentioned this yesterday.
I appreciate the call, Fletcher. Thank you.
You know, as you heard Breen and Jackson and Van Gundy talk about during the broadcast, well, then when he's being helped off the court and the Raptor fans in that part of the arena are giving him a standing ovation, can you hang with it a little while instead of cutting right to break?
I don't know why they did that.
And they cut right to break.
I mean
if you're gonna paint the picture one way, paint the picture the entire way.
They want the negative. See, that's the thing.
Well, and that's the problem.
It is.
Where you know then you know because there are gonna be people that didn't see that.
Correct.
There are going to be people that didn't recognize it. It wasn't pointed out. The other behavior was pointed out on the broadcast. That behavior was not. And there's some that are, maybe they went to the bathroom, whatever, weren't paying attention, weren't focused. Maybe they hopped on social media, weren't paying attention to that, Taz.
And what they should have done, and if they did this, I didn't see it. So, because when they came back from break, I just came out of the bathroom in my house. Maybe TMI. But regardless, that's when you do some B-roll, a replay of what happened.
I don't know if they did or did not.
Of standing ovation. Look at Kevin Durant. He's injured. His teammates help him off the court. And, yeah, Toronto fans, initially, I'm just saying what they probably should have done, the announcers and the TV production. Yeah, initially they were cheering, which was not a good look, but then they gave the man a standing ovation and yada, yada, yada. Just do a reset. But that's too good. They won't do that. And you know this, you know, when you're in the TV business, and you are, and I was for years, like, you know, production controls what we at home feel and think.
Oh, the narrative.
It's everything. And they do it very slick, quietly, and smooth, and you don't even know what's happening. So they don't have to make things live. They could feed the announcers and tell them, go this way, don't go that way, acknowledge this, don't, you know. There's some micromanaging going on there, too,
yeah,
production-wise.
There is. Right. We're not trying to say that ABC's trying to portray the Raptor fan in a certain light, but one way was kind of overemphasized as compared to the other way. That's the point. If you're going to be fair and balanced and justify it. And you know, like I mentioned, well, the Raptor fan had no idea that he tore his Achilles tendon.
No.
I mean, they had no idea.
They knew he went down, and their inside voice came out.
Right. That's it. They thought it was a tweak of the calf, I mean, at the stage. Nobody was playing doctor. You know, I was hoping it wasn't their Achilles. You know, I know there are some that are good. You know, Reggie Miller, I'm sure, and there are others that have suffered those injuries. You're going to say, that's Achilles. The Raptor fan that's 10 rows up from the court are not thinking that. Oh, my God, he just ruptured his Achilles. All right. He's done. He's done out for the next year.
He's out.
All right. We don't have to hear about Kevin Durant. Yeah, no more burner accounts. Yeah, all right. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no,
give me a break.
No, they're not. I mean, listen, look, like I said earlier, man, I really believe that, you know, if you're rooting for a team and a star player of the other team gets hurt inside, I don't want to sit here and say you're super happy that the guy got hurt, but you're happy that your team just got a better opportunity to potentially win the game. And that's what the Toronto fans are doing. So,
and if you and listen, and Taz, if you're listening to our voices this morning, you're saying, I don't feel that way. That's BS.
Well, then you call the show.
I want to hear from you. But that is nonsense. Of course you. You're not a fan if you think about the very fact of the impact on a game after an injury.
Right. No.
Star running back, quarterback, linebacker, defensive end. I mean, honestly, when the Redskins were getting ravaged by Lawrence Taylor, I was praying that he'd tweak his hamstring. Like, please, you're embarrassing Joe Jacoby. Please.
Joe Jacoby.
Tweak the hammy.
Jones.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, come
big,
on.
Giant
Not
man.
That I cheer for the injury, but I was like, give my offensive line a chance.
Taylor ran circles around Jacoby.
Yes.
I remember those games.
Joe Gibbs would basically triple team him on every single pass play.
And Joe Jacoby was a great tackle.
Great offensive lineman.
Except when they played the Giants.
Yes, that's exactly
that's
right.
A true story
that's
right there. True. Oh, my God. Wow, look, I just walked in.
Yes.
Look at this.
What's
wow.
up, guys? Wow.
Sorry I'm late, guys. Thanks for covering for me.
We're trying to stall.
Yeah, exactly.
How did the bathroom work out?
Here's your report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance with insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles, all at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. It's June, but the NFL is plenty busy. Another round of mini camps underway, and the Jets introed new GM Joe Douglas yesterday afternoon. The former Eagle front office exec knows where his bread is buttered in Jersey.
I'm excited to be working with Adam again after building a special bond in Chicago. We share a vision of building a team, and I look forward to partnering with him and getting this program to a place where we are consistently competing for championships each and every year.
Douglas and head coach Adam Gase are buddies, which is why Douglas was considered the favorite for this job the second Gase maybe pushed out Mike Maccagnan. Safety Jalen Ramsey says the Jaguars have informed his agent there is not an extension coming this offseason. Later yesterday, Ramsey joked on social media that whenever they talk contract, he's going to ask for so much money the Jags will need to put him on layaway. The Saints have paid defensive end Cam Jordan after back-to-back all-pro seasons. A 3-year extension takes him through 2023 and reportedly pays Jordan $44 million in guarantees. And the Raiders have been chosen for Hard Knocks. This year's installment debuts on August 6th. Kevin Durant reportedly came to us here in New York yesterday instead of returning to Oakland for tests on his right Achilles injury. No official update yet, but we're still expecting to hear that Achilles is torn. Game 6 between the Warriors and the Raptors tomorrow night in Oakland. Game 7 tonight in Boston. The Bruins or the Blues will win the Stanley Cup. St. Louis defenseman Alex Pietrangelo tells you what every player tells you before Game 7.
Went about our business today the same way, prepared the same way, and it's the way you got to treat it. I don't expect any different from anybody tomorrow. We obviously know what's at stake, but prepare the same way you've prepared all year.
Yeah, good luck with that. The puck drops in Boston 8 Eastern tonight. The last Game 7 for the Cup was 2011. The Bruins won that one in Vancouver. Hunter Pence had it easy last night in Boston.
Pitch to him is swung on, hit high in the air down the right field line. It is slicing foul, and at the pole, that ball is fair. It's in play. All the way around to score is Mazzara. Pence circling third. He's heading for the plate, and Pence scored. We may have just seen an inside-the-park homer.
We definitely did. Eric Nadella on Rangers Radio. Pence could have crawled home. He scored long before any sock got to that baseball. Right fielder Brock Holt stayed hung over the fence near the pesky pole after missing Pence's fly ball. Texas winning at Fenway 9-5. The Twins got by the Mariners 6-5. Cleveland top Cincinnati 2-1-10 on Oscar Mercado's RBI single. And the Angels got a two-game sweep of their L.A. neighbor 5-3 in Anaheim. Dodgers shortstop Corey Seager pulled his hamstring running the bases in the ninth. An MRI today, but this might be an extended absence for Seager. The Rockies' win streak in Colorado is now 10-10-3 over the Cubs. The Braves, a rain-shortened 7-5 home win over the Pirates. And the Phillies down the D-backs 7-4. David Ortiz able to walk a bit yesterday for the first time since being shot Sunday night in the Dominican. The man that allegedly drove the shooter to the bar was charged last night with attempted murder and criminal association. And lastly, the apparent end of some college football drama. Wideout Brew McCoy is once again a USC Trojan, the top 30 recruit, a wide receiver, originally signed with USC, but transferred to Texas when Cliff Kingsbury left to become the Cardinals head coach. But then McCoy apparently wasn't happy as a Longhorn, so he re-entered the NCAA transfer portal in May, and now he has returned to the Trojans. He will likely have to sit out the coming season, but then have 4 years of eligibility.
Pardon my ignorance. I'm assuming he's related to Colt McCoy if he was at Texas.
That's just
a common last name, I
guess.
Yes. I don't know.
I'm not familiar with the kid.
Well, no, that's fine. It's just, I mean, come on, make a choice here.
Yeah, but that happens, though, dude. It does.
Scam millennials. You know,
my kid span of like 6 months?
No, that's rare. That's a good point.
I'm not saying to leave, but to be committed to USC and then to leave USC for Texas. And then actually practice with Texas, and then to leave Texas for back to USC.
And I think Texas sent like a contingent of Tom Herman and the quarterback and somebody else like to his home to re-recruit him. And
for him to go, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, for him to go back to the school, like to USC to go back, that's rare.
Yeah.
Like that part. So like if he went, okay, to USC and then he goes to Texas and he practices a little bit with Texas, then he transfers, which he'd have to sit out because the rule. And then he transfers to Arkansas, to a different school. Then fine, three schools is a lot, but I would get it. But to go back somewhere, that's kind of like, you don't see that much.
No.
When the guy goes back to school and,
No, it's a strange scenario, but hopefully he's happy.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, that's the thing. You got to hope. That's all you can hope.
Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, by the way, Andrew, before you walk away.
Yes.
Before you walk away.
Thank you.
Did you watch the doubleheader, the Mets Yankees?
Most of it, yes.
Yeah, I watched all of both games.
Yeah.
Moose, you?
Yeah, it was, of course.
Locked in, right?
It was terrible baseball.
I know, I was. You and I were discussing during the break. The amount of errors, fielding errors awful. For both teams.
Yeah, good pitching, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's just terrible baseball.
Yeah, it really was. It really was terrible baseball. I think the first game was nice.
And you can tell Keith Hernandez on SNY, basically by the fifth inning of game two, he's like, oh. Like there was a throwing error, and there's like a sigh you could hear him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets very, very frustrated.
He does, because he was such a great defensive player.
Right. I'll never forget when the Mets were going through, I forget what year it was. The Mets were having a really, really bad.
That's basically every year except 1996, 1998, 1999, 2000.
He was in Pittsburgh, and the game was just dragging, and they were. The Pirates were terrible. The Mets were terrible.
Yeah.
The game was just it was like 2.5 hours in. It was like the sixth inning. And you hear him go, during one of the half innings. And he goes, I got to get up, change my position. And the way I'm looking at this game. It was one of the best things ever. But it was just like it was basically whatever you were feeling at home watching it. He's like, "This is dreadful baseball."
He's also like works every third series, I feel like. Yeah. So two games in one day for him, he's always has better things to do than
me. I don't disagree with you. So you he will when a game's terrible, he'll tell you the game.
He'll say it.
He doesn't care.
No, I love him.
He doesn't
care. And Darling was, I guess, because he's coming back from being sick. He was quiet. He was like not quiet, but he was a little less.
Yeah, less.
I guess he's trying to get back.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, it's great to have him back.
It is
great
that he's back.
He's gone through the treatment. Yep, doctors gave him clearance. I mean, thank God. Finding a mass on your chest and going through the cancer. I mean,
good thing he's okay.
No question about it. Yep. But yeah, terrible baseball in the Bronx yesterday.
Yeah,
they split.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So no bragging rights.
No, that's for the Mets fans. That's a bragging right. Trust
right.
me. There it is.
That's it.
That's like we won both.
We'll give you a KD injury update. We'll do that next. It's Taz. It's Moose on this Wednesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, it's time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So, Taz, what we knew yesterday, we know this morning about Kevin Durant is that the Warriors believe that he suffered a torn Achilles tendon
right.
in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Kevin Durant flew to New York yesterday to have that MRI. As we heard Bob Myers the other night, late after that game went final, address the media and get quite emotional.
Tears.
With his voice cracking and all. But we still don't have the results of that MRI, which I mean, I guess, it's his own private business. I mean, we're going to find out at some point in time, but listen, the Warrior team doctors know. I mean, you can tell when a guy ruptures or tears his Achilles tendon.
I want to ask you a question, Moose.
Like, yeah. I hope he didn't. I mean, it'd be great. Imagine if he comes out he just retweaked the calf.
Oh, you and Mike could be throwing parties. Net fan,
Oh, my
Nick
God.
Fan.
Yeah. It's back on.
Yeah.
June 30th, 6 o'clock. It's back on.
Now, I want to ask you, you think that, because I was just thinking this when you were talking, does the medical staff for the Golden State Warriors and the training staff, I mean, what was his name? The clavicle. Looney, right? Looney was injured, right? Looney,
yeah.
Now he's back.
Yeah.
And then, this whole thing with Kevin Durant, do they look kind of a little sketchy? Not sketchy, that's the wrong word, but, not great?
Well,
your view just being an outsider.
I mean, I think they're a little bit, it's a little bit different. I mean, for Looney, he's got that cartilage issue. They believe that he can't injure it worse.
But remember the initial report.
That it was a broken collarbone.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that was the initial report. Then you get a little clarity into it. He's taking a pain shot into the area, Taz,
right,
in order to go out there and play. So you know that he's in very, very much in discomfort when he's not on the basketball court. Yeah, I guess for Durant, let me ask you this. If you're Kevin Durant and you knew that there was a possibility of rupturing the Achilles tendon, are you taking the court?
That's a great question. If I was in his business position and my team was as stacked as his, I probably wouldn't, because meaning that in the summer I could end up going somewhere making even more money. You know what I mean? Look, anybody that knows anything about the body, like I said yesterday, it's going to overcompensate. So if you have a calf problem, it's connected to your Achilles. I probably wouldn't have. And I love to win, but
and
I probably wouldn't have.
To play that point, I mean, Kerr spoke to, I don't know if it was Ramona Shelbourne or I forget who it was from ESPN. Maybe it was Doris Burke. He basically said the risk was retweaking the calf. He didn't say that the risk was a potential Achilles tear.
Connected.
So, I don't get it. I mean, there's a lot more to this story.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.